The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. The Christological threat here is indeed a great one. How is one to compete with men who have devoted their entire lives to observing God's law? The scribes were lawyers, so they knew God's law backwards and forwards. And their colleagues, the Pharisees, well, they had most likely memorized the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And both groups saw it their duty to enforce the law's demands. Still, knowledge of the law coupled with its enforcement does not equate to righteousness, Jesus points out. So what was it then that these religious elites were doing or not doing that got them called out by Jesus? Well, the answer is they were only preaching half the story. You see, the law and the prophets, the so-called Old Testament, did in fact contain God's law. But more importantly, it contained the promise of the Savior who would do what the law could never do, make a sinner righteous by mercy and forgiveness. You see, though right and good, God's law is impossible to keep. God gave his law not to make people righteous, but instead to make people unrighteous by pointing out their sin. The law reveals sin, but does nothing to remove sin. It's like an old nagging spouse who always points out the fault, but does absolutely nothing to help. And nag it does. God's law demands perfection. 24/7, 365, from conception to death. Now, only a delusional person would claim success with this demand, but that didn't stop the legal beagles. They actually thought themselves to be righteous because of their observance of the law. They avoided people who were sick, people who were Gentiles, or people who had otherwise been declared unclean. They practiced ceremonial hand washing before meals. Their pots, kettles, and the food cooked in them were always kosher. And God forbid they see someone violate the Sabbath. On and on this legalism went in every facet of their lives. Their zeal for conformity relentless. And their incessant complaining about people not being like them never ceased. But for all the appearance of being law-abiding, in truth, they were simply relaxing the demands of the commandments. They were attempting to make the law manageable, that is, able to be accomplished, thinking righteousness then to be the rewards. But that misguided venture only produces deluded hypocrites, skilled at calling out others' failures while blind to their own. And so in this passage, Jesus is saying not to water down the law like the scribes and the Pharisees. He certainly did not. Not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished, Jesus said. And what does it mean for the law to accomplish its task? Well, the answer is to shut every mouth claiming righteousness, to still every hand working to be righteous, and remove all hope of ever being righteous apart from the work of the Savior. Said another way, the law has accomplished its task when the sinner is dead. But Jesus is also demanding the promise of the Savior written in the law and the prophets not be forgotten, but proclaimed instead. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them, he said. And fulfill them he did. Indeed, he fulfilled them, not us. And this he did by hanging on a cross with the sin of the entire world heaped upon him until he became sin itself. And the law justly killed him. Yet he lives. Meaning mercy and forgiveness are God's last word, not the law and condemnation. And so Jesus tells us to be salt and light in this world. He means by that for us to preach the truth, like salt, caustically preach God's law, lighting up every shadow, exposing all unrighteousness until no hiding place remains. And then preach God's mercy and grace without condition. So here goes. I happen to know some things about you because they're true of me also. Our very best is like filthy rags when it comes to righteousness, to say nothing of our worst. We are hopeless if making amends with God is by the law, even watered down law. But the law is not our salvation, but rather Jesus Christ. And so by his authority, I forgive you. I forgive you the entirety of your sin without condition. There's your promise. The kingdom of heaven is yours because Jesus Christ has fulfilled the promise of the law and the prophets for you. Amen.